Well, before I get into the sermon, a number of you have asked, and we're a small group today, even though y'all are so far spread out. I don't understand why you don't like to get the blessing first before everybody else does. There's at least some people down here that are going to get the blessing first before it takes time to travel all the way back. We did have a good time visiting with our grandson for the first time. No, I did not give Daniel or Jonathan any pictures to put up. You'll have to talk to Deanne or I. We do have pictures, but I'm not going to try to be the typical first grandparent that is sharing pictures and pictures only all the time. If you ask us, we have some. And we just had a good time with them. And they did get more snow down there than we got here. And on the way back yesterday, it snowed from South Hill when we left about 2:20, very hard, all the way to Greensboro. And then from there on out, it was pretty clear until we were coming up towards Fancy Gap and got to experience the great and wonderful fog going over the top of the mountain. They had it down to 30 miles an hour yesterday, and I know some of you prayed, and we thank you for praying that we could get back safely. That was the only concern that I had, because we were kind of wrapped up in taking care of and helping visit with our grandson. Now, I do want to explain one thing before I get into the sermon, because there's some around the church that might be calling me by a different name from now on, and I want to let you know why they're using a different name, and I want to give everybody the story, and you can share this story freely. Before my son and my daughter-in-law got married, some of the teenage girls at the previous church that I served at asked me if I knew what Deanne and I wanted to be called once they had children. And I said, gosh, I hadn't even thought about that. They're not even married yet, and I hadn't thought about what we were going to be called. And so I said, give me some time, and I went back to them about a week later, and I told them that I wanted to be called Rufus. Not Grandpa, not Pops, not anything else that typically grandpas are called, okay? One of my grandpa's name was Pop Pop, and the other one was, we just called him Granddad. And they looked at me and they said, Rufus? Why do you want to be called Rufus? I said, because that way when we are out somewhere and I hear this little kid call Rufus, I know that it's my grandchild looking for me. Okay? A little kid calling Grandpa could be any grandpa, right? Well, when I shared this with my daughter-in-law, she said that she was perfectly fine with that. She said, however, it's going to be however the kid first says it. And then when they were up here in August, she told me, she said, you do realize that kids can normally say D before they can do an R. Some of you have figured that out. I'm waiting for the rest of you to catch up. So there are a few individuals in the church, and Carol will remain nameless, who has been calling me Doofus for the past week. And I don't consider that to be something bad, okay? That if my grandkid calls me Doofus, I'll be more than happy with that. And his name is Theodore, and I've already told them that I'm going to call him Door if they call me Doofus. So that people can ask, where have Doofus and Door got off to? Okay? But we did have a good time with them, and we do have some pictures that we will gladly share with you. So if you hear anybody calling me Rufus or Doofus or Goofus or whatever names you can make up off of that a kid might say, that's more than fine with me. It doesn't bother me at all. I'll be happy if my grandkid will call me any of those things. Today we're looking at what seems like a different passage to be looking at for Christmas time. This passage is all about John the Baptizer. This is about John the Baptizer out in the midst of the wilderness and him baptizing folks. John the Baptizer. Notice I didn't call him John the Baptist. Okay? He doesn't belong just to us as a Baptist church. Okay? He was not the first leader of the Baptist church either. Those of you that have been coming on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about that. You know that the Baptist denomination is only 400 years old. It does not go all the way back to John the Baptizer. Okay? But we're going to talk about John the Baptist. So I want you to listen to this scripture as we look at this. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see, this is all about preparation. This is all about getting ready. This is all about being prepared. And the prophets had been doing this for centuries, telling people about the day of God's Savior coming for centuries. All the way back to Moses, they had been speaking about the Christ who would come, about the Messiah who would come to save them. And even when you get back to Moses' time, you've got this serpent that's put up on a staff, right? And you're supposed to look up to it if you get bit by one of the snakes. Looking up to it, guiding people towards God. So from Moses' time on, even back to Abraham, the word was spoken. Isaiah speaks about it. Jeremiah speaks about it. Ezekiel speaks about it. All the minor prophets in one way or another speak about it. And Micah says that there will one day come Elijah again. You see, all the prophets spoke about the day of God's Son coming. It would be a day that would happen. And no one knew when as they looked towards that. But the prophet spoke about it again and again. John the Baptizer is the last of the Old Testament style prophets to speak about the coming of the Messiah. He's the last. I want you to visualize him a little bit. John the Baptist is wearing camel hair. I can't imagine that camel hair was one of the most comfortable things to wear. And I can only imagine how itchy and how just it might be. And it said he had a leather belt, and he probably didn't brush his hair every day. I don't know about that. But he tended to be a little bit on the wild side from where people were. You see, he's one of the last of the Old Testament style prophets. He has a wonderful breakfast every day. How many people want to sign up for his breakfast? I could bring that in Wednesday night. We could all experience what John the Baptist would eat. It says that he ate locusts, or otherwise grasshoppers, and honey. What do you guys think? You want something? I'll bring you some Wednesday night. Thomas is like, I don't know, I'll try it. I'm kind of thinking that he really, really needed that honey. Because I don't know that I could get a grasshopper down. Maybe that honey helped it. John's a little on the wild side. And as he's out there, people are coming out to see him. People are approaching him to see him. And I want you to understand that in the midst of this crowd, there's different kinds of people. There's people who honestly have come out looking to see what is this about. There's people that have come out saying, well, I really, really hope that this is what we've been wishing and waiting for many, many years. But then also, and we don't see it in this passage, but you see it in the other Gospels, there's also some of the Pharisees and the scribes who have come out. The Pharisees and the lawyers, the religious leaders and the lawyers have come out to see what's going on. And as I see John preaching and John sharing about preparing the way of the gospel, as I see that, I can kind of see these Pharisees and these scribes standing off away and kind of watch at what's going on. They see what's going on and they're out there to inspect it because they want to make sure it's done the right and the proper way. They want to make sure that everything's kept straight. And I'm willing to bet there's at least some of them, if not most of them, that are going, yeah, those people over there need to get their life straight. Those people over there need to get their life straight. And it's good that they've come out to listen to John the Baptizer. Because they need to be prepared. They need to get straight. They need to set their life right because we already got it right. Can you see that picture? Those are the people that are there. Those are the people that are crowding around. And some of these people probably right closest to John, they're the ones that realize, I got to do something. Those people over there, by the way, we all know who those people are, don't we? Have you got names for those people? You probably got some names for those people, whether you're standing here in front of John the Baptist or whether you're standing over here with the Pharisees, you know who those people are, don't you? Those people are the people that they should have been here in church today, right? Those people are the ones who haven't been to church in 20, 30, 40 years. I'm glad that they came out to listen to John the Baptizer because those people really need to be here and listen to that. Right? You know who they are. You see, the people standing here in front of John the Baptist, they came with some expectancy. They came with an expectancy that something is going to happen. Something great is going to go on. Something, and they want to be right there and they want to be ready for it. They've come with that expectancy. Now the Pharisees probably expect something also, but what they expect is for those people to get their lives right. As a pastor, there's been many times throughout my ministry as people leave church, that I've heard this phrase, wow, Pastor, you really stepped on their toes today. And sometimes I've been bold enough to go, what about yours? You see, there are people that come and approach God, and they're expecting everybody else's life to get right by hearing the good news. But you see, these people, they're not coming to see the Pharisees get their lives right. The people went out to see John, and many have come with a great expectancy in their hearts. A great expectancy for something's going to happen. Something's going to go on. And they realize they need whatever is going to come next. They're not looking for anybody else's lives to get straight. They're looking to get their own lives straight. That's what they're looking for. They're looking to get their own lives straight. So they have come, John has come to prepare the way of the Messiah. They have come preparing their hearts, preparing who they are and what they need. They come with expectancy. The people that come with this expectancy, they are willing to examine their lives and consider fully the change that they need to make. They're willing to examine their lives. What does it say that John was doing? John was baptizing them for repentance, for changing their ways, for turning their lives around so that they could be ready when the Messiah got there. Now, like I said, this seems like an awful strange passage to talk about right before Christmas, right? What kind of expectancy do you have for Christmas Day? What kind of expectancy do you have for Christmas Day? Is it just that gift that you've been hinting about all year? Is it an opportunity to take the Christ child into your life again? Is it an opportunity to see that in a new way? Do you have that kind of expectancy for Christmas Day? And then secondly, are you willing to consider what you might need to change in order to walk the path that the Messiah has for you? Are you willing to consider that? You see, some of these folks standing here most closest to John, that's what they've come for. They've come with expectancy, but they have also come knowing that they need to change things in their lives. They're not looking anywhere else. They're examining themselves and they're looking at themselves. These folks that are standing over here, away from John, probably up a little bit on a knoll, looking down upon everybody else and deciding what everybody else should be doing, deciding whether they've done it the right way or not. Because you see, they're going to get mad at John because John didn't do it the right way. They're going to get mad at Jesus because Jesus didn't do it the right way. There's a right way to do these things, the Pharisees would say. And if you don't do it in the right way, then it can't be done for good. It has to be done in the right way. And you see, the Pharisees are saying they need to get their lives straight. And the people are there to get their lives straight, but then the Pharisees find problems with the way these people get their lives straight. Remember what I said? I said it on Wednesday night, and I think I said it last Sunday. A pessimist is a person that's got a problem for every solution. You see, these people found the solution. The solution was to come with expectancy. The solution was to come with repentance. The solution was to come and say, I know that I need to change. And the Pharisee pessimists over here are saying you didn't do it the right way. So since you didn't do it the right way, it's not effective. What do you think those people would say? Those who've experienced God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's love, as they repented and noticed that they needed to change and worked on changing those things, what do you think they say? Oh, how glorious it is to live in the midst of God's kingdom. And you over there that don't get it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you don't get it. I'm sorry you think there's only one way to get things right. I'm sorry that you can't see what I've seen to get the joy and the light in my life, to get the love and the peace that God wanted to bring me. Look at what happened. And look at how changed I feel. You see, they come with expectancy. They come saying, I'm willing to change. And their emphasis is on one thing. Their emphasis is on being ready in their heart and in their mind for the coming one. That's what their emphasis is. Being ready in their heart and in their mind for the coming one. The Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, they're all about getting it done in the right order, the right way, the proper way, by all the rules and regulations, by the things that they have made up through the years. That's what they're looking for. And the people come, and their hearts are changed. Their minds are changed. And they're ready to receive the Christ child. They're ready to receive this Jesus when he comes. And John says, by the way, you're going to end up thinking I'm great, but I'm not. No way am I great. It's the one who comes after me. I can't even stoop down and do a slave's job for him. He's so much more than me. So much more. So I ask you this question as we think about this message. Are you seeking to prepare yourself for the great guest and the coming journey? Are you seeking to prepare yourself for the great guest and the coming journey? Because I want to tell you, the guest is going to be a surprise guest. And the journey is going to be different than what you thought it was going to be. I never would have guessed that my journey would bring me to this church as I started my life as a Christian. Never would have guessed that. I never would have guessed that I've sat with people and prayed with them in exciting and wonderful situations and in desperate and hard situations. I never would have guessed that that was my journey. I never would have guessed all the ups and downs. Are you preparing your heart and your mind for the great guest who's coming and the coming journey? Let us pray. Almighty and wonderful Lord, John has shown us that maybe we need to be more ready than we thought. John cries out, preparing the way, telling the people that they must repent, that they must change their lives. And Lord, some come and do that. Some stand off at a distance, not trusting what's going on, because as far as they're concerned, it didn't happen in the right way. Lord, help us to be people. Help us to be people that will prepare our hearts and our minds for your coming. So that as you come in the midst of our lives, however that might be, that we might be ready to accept you as a guest and ready for whatever the coming journey brings. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.